Welcome to Story 49. I'm Emily Hofstetter, and on this month's episode, we listen to Lisa Lynch, newly crowned Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood and college student using her voice to speak up for Native students. Lisa is 19 and beginning her sophomore year of study at the John Cabot University in Rome. We talked about her dreams of getting a PhD, growing up herding reindeer, and working to represent her culture while she studies abroad in Europe.
My name is Lisa Lynch, and I just recently won Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood.
Lisa Lynch has always had a big imagination and a whole lot of drive.
So it actually all started when I was about 7 years old, and I was watching some show was on TV, like Discovery Channel special about like King Tut and Cleopatra. And I was like, you know what? I want to be a pharaoh. And I went to school. I told my teacher, and she was like, Lisa, there are no pharaohs anymore. And I was like, okay, then I want to be the person that finds the pharaohs. What are they called? And then later, like that in a year or the next year, I watched Indiana Jones and I was like, okay, how do I be him, but like for where the pharaohs lived? And then I found out it's called an Egyptologist. So since then, I've been working towards that goal.
I first saw Lisa in Nome's Midnight Sun Parade. She wasn't easy to miss in a deep cranberry parka, turned out in full regalia with a Miss A and B sash and wearing gloves made from a wolf's face.
So everything I wore was given to me by my family in some way, shape, or form. To start with, the outermost part was I was wearing a bright red parka with a big white ruff, and the significance of that parka was it used to be my mother's. It was a gift to her from my grandmother and my grandmother's sister, so my great aunt, and they made the parka, and the ruff was actually a big white wolf that my grandfather, Larry Davis, killed for my mom. And what's nice about that is people didn't really make the connection for a while, but the gloves I wore, so I don't know what kind of gloves are, but they're the big mittens you could wear while you're out in the wintertime, and my mittens were made with the same wolf face, and so the face was carefully preserved, so it even has the snout, the whiskers, and the ears still attached, and it's cut in half, so when you put the two halves of the gloves together, they form one full wolf face. So that was fun, because during the pageant and during the parades, I've been chasing little kids around with them, because it's a full wolf face, so they're a matching set. And then the mukluks I was wearing were actually made by my Akka, the late Etta Taktu, and they were originally hers, and they became mine because I was the only one with the small enough feet to fit them. And it has a walrus hard bottom, so they're really short mukluks. They're a little over ankle height, but they have a nice hard bottom, so they're very durable. And then they're made with a white calfskin, right, white reindeer calfskin, then they're ringed at the top with a black beaver pelt, and then a little beading done by my Akka, also in a little swirl pattern. And then my cusbuck was a very bright yellow cusbuck. It was like a bright marigold yellow, and my mom made it for me for my high school graduation, and I actually do wear that one in Rome a lot, mostly because it's my only cusbuck with 3/4 sleeves, and it's nice to not have to keep pushing my sleeves up in Italy because it's a lot hotter. So I've worn that cusbuck in Rome to like Christmas mass at the Vatican, and then so that was cool. And then I had the earrings, carved ivory earrings that look like little mukluks. The tops were made of new ivory, then little bottoms to look like the walrus bottom or old ivory. Then they were given to me by my mom's best friend. And then, yeah, that's all. Oh, and then I had a ring on that was actually a carved reindeer shin bone on. So that was it for my regalia.
Wait, can we just go back to the wolf part? That was made for your mother?
So because my mom wanted a new parka a while ago, before I was even born, she didn't want just a run-of-the-mill type of ruff, and so she told her dad, my grandfather, that she wanted a very nice ruff. So he went out wolf hunting, and he just happened to spy like a white-gray wolf, and he's like, I guess I'll get this one.
Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood is a scholarship program, and Lisa needed to come up with regalia for the pageant. But these are more than just beautiful clothes. When she adorns herself, she is wearing the skills and accomplishments of her family as she goes forward to make accomplishments of her own. There's a poetry in the way that each piece has a memory and story, ones that she will wear to make new memories and stories. Her clothing is a reminder that we never get anywhere alone. It takes the work and love of the people who came before us.
So I saw from Ms. Arctic Native Brotherhood, there's a scholarship, and I decided the Friday beforehand to go and join because I was like, it's an open call, there's no qualification, you just gotta win. And so I tried my luck with that, and then when I actually got to the competition, I saw the other girls, and I was like, okay, maybe third place still gets one, so let's aim for third.
Well, we have the benefit of knowing how the story ends. She won. I thought I would talk to her about standard pageant preparation. Instead, her story took me not only all over Alaska, but across the Atlantic to the pyramids of Egypt and the crowded streets of Rome, Italy.
I spent all my summers growing up here, and then I spend my school breaks here, too, because my mom, Cheryl Lynch, used to be Davis, is from here, too, so I'm part of the Davis family. Marianne and Lawrence Davis were my grandparents, so I spent a long time with them out at the reindeer ranch or with my grandmother going through the tundra, picking greens, picking berries, learning about the land, including fishing trips with my cousins. So this summer and last summer, since I work here now, there's been a lot of at 5:30 right after work, hurry up and go to the beach to go pull the net in. Actually been super funny because since I've won Miss A&B, I have a lot of people congratulating me, but then a lot of people also asking who I am. Despite that I come here so often, it's just when I'm here, I'm never in town. I'm always out in the country or I'm out in the tundra. Like, my favorite story is when I was about 2 years old. So I was, you know, little, so I could walk and everything. So my grandfather was holding me and he put me in the corral. We have multiple pins, and there's one, the biggest pin is called, it's the actual corral itself. It's a very big pin, and you go fishing, that's what we call, is where you push the reindeer into a smaller pin. And reindeer are very, like, docile and calm, so all you need to do is just walk behind them. So walk behind the deer. So when I was two, my grandpa put me down and had me walk behind all the reindeer and push them in. Even though I was so little, like, real utagu, they still went forward because they just saw someone behind them. So 2 years old was my first time reindeer herding.
Lisa is knowledgeable about everything on the tundra. Soon she was telling me how cotton grass guides to salmon berries and even told me the history of how reindeer came to be in Alaska.
Well, it originally started because after the gold rush, the miners wiped out all the food here for the indigenous people. So then the U.S. government actually brought reindeer over from Northern Europe because they've had reindeer domesticated for a 1,000 years or so. So they brought the reindeer over to us so we could learn how to do it since all the wildlife was gone and the rivers were destroyed by mining. So they're actually like a cousin to the caribou, and they're obviously good to eat and everything. And it's just like a way, another way to get food when there was no food left.
But remember that little girl who dreamed of being a pharaoh? That dream she had as a child never left her.
The reason I got into classical studies is because I wanted to study outside the U.S. So not going to lie, it's been a lot of work, a lot of stressful work, mostly because it's like when I have technical issues with like my visa or my schooling, I have a 10-hour time difference. Although I'm getting a degree in classical studies and art history, I'm actually working towards a PhD in Egyptology and linguistic anthropology. One of the things I've learned for that goal, I'm actually biliterate, which means I'm one step below bilingual for French, and French is the official language of Egyptology. So I speak like bilingual, like biliterate French. And then in an effort, because I found out I am not a math or science person, to get out of math class, I took Mandarin Chinese. So I'm also conversational in Mandarin Chinese. And then I'm going on to my fourth year of Latin, because classics is the closest I could get to Egyptology right now, because Egyptology was big like 40 or 50 years ago. So I found out I'm a little late for the trend. So there's not a lot of universities that offer Egyptology anymore. All my French teachers for my high school were from Paris, and so I told them like end of sophomore year that I wanted to go to school in Europe, so then they would grade me harder and work on my accent. I'd be the only one to get yelled at if I didn't have a Parisian accent when I spoke French.
But Lisa has encountered obstacles that go beyond just academics.
We had to report a few people to my dean for racial harassment. People thought it was cool that I was from Alaska. I became the trademark Alaskan person. Then when people found out I was a Inupiaq, they were like, wow, you guys are real? And then I was like, yes, we're real. We're just not on commercials or anything. We're real people too. Although a very small population, we're real. Even though I do go to like a liberal arts school, so you would think it'd be more liberal, there are a lot of people I've learned in this world that are very one-minded and not open. So a lot of people don't really understand, like, oh my goodness, why would you kill a reindeer? Don't eat fish. And I'm like, you eat a cow. It's the same thing. And I remember this very vividly. I was waiting in line to get the pasta of the day, which was my favorite pasta. It's a chili and olive oil. It sounds disgusting, but it's like chili flakes and olive oil. I was wearing a cusbuck for the first time. And normally I wear half cusbucks because, you know, they're easier to work around. But I felt fancier that day, so I wore a traditional one and everything. And then someone behind me asked me what I was wearing because they said it looked funny. And then I was like, excuse me, what did you say? And they're like, whatever you're wearing, your jacket, why is it so baggy? And I was like, it's a cusbuck. And then the person in front of me started, I was holding my tray out, so my arms were up, and they were pulling at my sleeves. And then the person behind me started pulling at the other sleeve. And then there was a few other kids who started listening, because obviously they were being very loud. And just the whole conversation was them trying to tell me that my cusbuck wasn't fashionable, and it was too baggy, and it was a weird pattern. They didn't get why the pocket was so big, or why was it so baggy on me, or And it was just really insensitive. And I was trying to explain, oh, this is a traditional costume, like not a costume. This is a traditional jacket slash shirt, depending on how you want to wear it, where I'm from. And they're like, but why are you wearing it here? And that just kind of hurt me. And I just put my tray down and I just went home. Like, I didn't eat lunch that day. Not going to lie, I went home and cried for a little bit. Oh, and I couldn't even call my mom because there's a 10-hour time difference. Yeah. And I didn't want to call her at 3:30 in the morning. Because I was excited for seal hunting season, right? Mm-hmm. I was obviously in school, but my cousin, she sent me a picture and she got a seal. And it was her first seal she's ever gotten all by herself. So I was so happy and proud for her. Because, you know, that's a big landmark. Because, like, the seal she provided for, like, our entire family. Like, our whole family and everything, like my grandmother, everyone, all my great aunts and uncles. So I was really happy. I was very proud of her. And I was going around and showing my friends. I'm like, look, my cousin got her first seal. And then I had one kid in my English class look at me dead in the eye and tell me I'm a monster and it's inhumane what my family does. And then other kids joined in and told me it was very inhumane. I should be ashamed of it. And then my teacher didn't stop them. Like, my professor was just like standing there awkwardly. And then I go to a really small school, so word caught around that I'm apparently a monster with an inhumane family. And so there's a little period in time after that where I just didn't really talk about my family or talk about, or people would ask me, oh, are you the one from Alaska? I'm like, yeah, but that's it. I do share with, like, my close friends. They like hearing about it. And I joke around saying I've reached official old man mountain, like old mountain man, old Eskimo status, because I made my friends all fall asleep while I was telling a story about the Iditarod. And then I kept talking. And then by the time I was done with the story, like 20 minutes later, I realized everybody was asleep. Like, there are 4 people asleep on the floor. And I was like, man, now I got to get them up, don't I? I want to get them up. There's too many people.
Lynch hasn't let that stop her, though. She's still proud of her culture, her ethnicity, and who she is.
I've been lobbying with my university because I went and told the dean of my university, and I was a little bit in tears, and she just looked at me and said, oh, just don't tell them you're Alaska Native then. And I was like, ma'am, that's not an option. You look at me and you could tell. Like, I can't not say that. I just can't look at someone and be like, I'm 100% Irish. Can't you tell?
What were some of the biggest differences that you encountered in going to Europe, and what advice would you have for other students coming from Western Alaska who are looking to make that jump out of the region, maybe to somewhere in the 48 or to Europe? What things helped you?
So a thing that really helped me is remembering that, hey, look, if you could go survive in the tundra, there's literally, like, everything is a slice of cake than there. Because one thing I've noticed about our people that, like, I don't really see in a lot of other places, we're very hardworking. Like, everything is, like, the way we shape the land, the things we have to do to survive on it is, like, again, very subsistence driven, very hardworking. And I'm not saying, not to say to brag, but that's something I realized that did set me apart from my friends, because it's also, like, again, I have so few scholarships open for me, so I work a lot. I spend most of my days getting rejection letters from scholarships, because they're like, we don't fund you if you're outside the U.S. And so I write essays, I do contests, I do all I can. And I realized none of my friends did that. They just had their parents take their loans out for them. And I realized it's our upbringing here that, like, you work for what you want and you have to work hard for what you get, because nothing is easy. Because it's like, if you could go catch a fish, but then who's going to dry it? Who's going to smoke it? You could do all that. And it's even just, like, the responsibility we have. Like, I remember freaking my friends out because I told them, I was like, yeah, I was like 12 or like 11 or something when I learned how to drive a 4-wheeler. And they're like, why would they give such a little kid a 4-wheeler? I'm like, because I had work to do when I had to haul lumber and I wasn't going to do it by hand. So I had to use a 4-wheeler. So it's just like, that's one thing I was really happy about, was like the strong sense of responsibility I have, and like the working part, because it's just like, that's the running. It was another thing with my friends. I was one of the only friends who tried getting a job over there. And everybody thought, they're like, oh, did your parents cut you off or something? Is that why you need a job? And I was like, no, because I want my own money to spend. I don't want to keep borrowing or asking for money. And so that's just something I realized, that you learn a lot here, like surviving in the tundra, doing subsistence work is like hardworking. That will take you so much further than anyone's name or anyone's like approval in your life, is just your hardworking.
After our interview, Lisa went on to compete in the Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics in Fairbanks, or Miss WIO, as it's often called. We caught up later, and she told me that despite not winning, it was exciting to be with a group of girls who were all in Nupiaq. Lisa will be returning to Italy for the next year of school in the autumn, but she still plans to be active as Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood through her social media page. More than anything, she hopes having this title will help her to be taken more seriously at her school while she defends her heritage and the rights of Native students. Many thanks to Lisa for sharing her story with me. Music in this episode is Star Child by Mystery Mammal. If you or someone you know has a story to share, contact KNOM at 443-5221. Story 49, sharing your story, your voice, your Alaska.